This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon and shalom. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo from Aliyah Ministries International here in Stuart, Florida. And we're pitch hitting this afternoon for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Our pastors are in the state of recovery right now. We are trusting God for their complete healing and for their complete restoration.
Amen.
Baby.
Oh, welcome everyone to the program, Raising the Standard, which is on WCNO Radio 89.9 every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And just in case you're away from your radio, you can always find us on the internet, so you'll always be connected to the Word of God. And you can find past messages. So if there's something that you missed, you can always go back and listen to it. Now I'm going to give you the phone number for Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida. The phone number is 772-285-7007. And this is where you can contact Pastor Donna or Pastor Gene Hilton. I'd like to say thank you to everyone that has been praying for our pastor's speedy recovery. We say, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, have your way today with this program. May the word go forth to the nations, and that all shall hear, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. May the word break through the callousness of the hearts. May the word go forth and drill down deep. And may all those that do not know Yeshua come to know the Lord, our God, our soon coming King. We are discussing last week's program, how there had been a succession of God's glory manifesting itself in the presence of mankind. In 2 Chronicles 5, verse 11 through 14, Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and Pentecost, Acts 1, 12 through 15. These two events took place at two different times of the year. They paralleled each other. tabernacles, or sukkot, or booths, is a prophetic foreshadow or picture when God comes down to live or tabernacle with us here on earth. When this kingdom actually comes, there will truly be an outward manifestation of the glory of God. Now, this week's program will take you through a progression of God's love and commitment towards His children of Israel. We will discuss the land covenant God made with Abram and his descendants, the Exodus out of Egypt, the second Aliyah, the promised land in Canaan, and the return of the Jews to their homeland, Eretz Israel, from the four corners of the earth. We begin in Genesis 12, verse 7. A land covenant with God. Abram was renamed Abraham after the covenant. Genesis 12, 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your offspring. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis 13, 15. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Genesis 13, 17. Get up and walk around the land, through its length and width, for I will give it to you. Genesis 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. The land covenant from God to Abraham was part of God's provision for the Jewish people after the Exodus from Egypt. Abram's name was changed by God to Abraham. We read Genesis 17, 5, and this is the King James Version. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now the children of Israel were afflicted mightily by the Egyptian taskmasters while they were in captivity. They cried out to the Lord, and he heard their cries and delivered them out of bondage with his outstretched arm. And as we read in Deuteronomy 5:6, I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. We see God actively getting involved with his children. God is manifesting himself mightily before them with signs and wonders. He is speaking with Moses and giving him directions to do exactly as he states. We see the children of Israel pass through the Red Sea on dry land. We see God supply all their needs. We see God shield them from their enemies. We see a cloud by day protect them from the scorching sun, and a fire by night for warmth against the desert coldness. God makes his covenant at Mount Horeb, giving of his Ten Commandments. The multitude agree to follow his commandments on Shavuot. God instructs his children to be obedient, to follow his commandments, his statutes. In return, he is faithful and true and merciful. His love and compassion for them abound. God, through the tabernacle in the desert and the Ark of the Covenant, was reaching down to mankind. He was wanting a relationship with his creation. God wanted to be a part of each one of their lives. If I could speak for God, his heart was hungry for intimacy with his children. He wanted more for them. He wanted them to prosper. All he asks is, do you love me? Then follow me. In Exodus 6:7, the Lord spoke to Moses, I will take you, the Israelites, the Jews, as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Is this a God of love? Is this a God who cares for our needs? The Lord fought the battles for the children of Israel. He slew famous kings, Og, king of Bashan, in Numbers 21:33. He slew Sihon, king of the Amorites, in Numbers 21:21. And as we read in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 through 9, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, the Jewish people, to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And now, you see, God is a covenant God. He keeps his word. You might ask, why is God so enamored with these Jewish people? And it says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. It was because he would keep this oath to your forefathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the house of bondage that the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had kept you under. He is a loving God. And now we see Moses turning over leadership to Joshua, who will lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. Deuteronomy 4:1. And Moses speaks as they are about to go into the land. Moses is handing down his leadership, for his time has come. It is time that he will soon die. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. In Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33, it states, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jew and Gentile? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. Unto them saith, and I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. In Leviticus 26:12, it states, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. This scripture was written before the birth of Yeshua. But didn't Yeshua, the Messiah, HaMashiach, walk among the multitude, preaching the kingdom of God? He is the same God that spoke to their father Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. Now we begin the return of the Jewish people. Israel must return to her homeland. She has been scattered to the four corners of the earth, persecuted, killed, hated, but the Lord is beckoning her back. Aliyah from around the world is increasing. Aliyah is the immigration to Eretz Israel. It's the Jews coming back to their land. It's going up to Jerusalem. For God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. His arms are wide open to receive his children home. Bo, bo, come, come. And now, honey, tell the listening audience about Aliyah and God's plan for the return of the Jew to their homeland.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, as I present this material this afternoon, I'd just like to lay a little bit of a foundation, because for many believers, this whole concept of going back to their Jewish roots, going back to the old covenant, what the Jews call the Tanakh, the scriptures that were written, the prophetic scriptures that were written from Genesis through Malachi. There may be some questions as to what we're doing here. Are we trying to bring about a new religion? Are we trying to force on people some ideas that perhaps are new, maybe even revolutionary? But I think if we look at the scriptures themselves, and we even start out this afternoon, if you would, I'd like to read from John chapter 4, starting in verse 21, when Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And he says to her, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Isn't that interesting? Yeshua here is speaking to a Samaritan woman. Obviously, the Samaritans were non-Jews. They were in effect Gentiles. And he's speaking directly to her and confirming to her that salvation is of the Jews. Now let's look at St. Paul in Romans 1:16. He proclaims, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." To the Jew first. It's almost as if to say, especially to the Jew first. Not to the exclusion of the Gentiles, but to the Jew first. So we see here, as we lay this foundation, that without our older Jewish brothers and sisters, and I say older because they were worshiping the Lord and had been for thousands of years, even before Yeshua came to this earth. They were worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
The patriarchs themselves were Jewish. David, Joseph, Abraham, all the authors of the Bible were Jewish. The prophets were Jewish. Of course, Yeshua and his disciples were Jewish. And where did they live? They lived in Israel, the land that was given to the Jews by Almighty God. This is the land where Yeshua lived as a child, grew up into maturity, had a public ministry at age 30, literally walked throughout the land of Israel, performing signs and wonders and miracles. In this book that we as Christians call the New Covenant or the New Testament. Well, the New Covenant or the New Testament is a Jewish book.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Jewish authors under the anointing and the leading of Holy Spirit. So you really cannot call yourself a Christian today and choose deliberately to separate yourself from your Jewish roots.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They have been, and thank God that they have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that footing, without that foundation, without those words of truth, without the witness of Holy Spirit throughout the Old Covenant, where would we be today? Where would we be today? When Yeshua preached, he preached from the Tanakh, the Old Covenant. Let's look at Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, and see what God has to say. "And now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Well, that place that he was being called out of was the city of Ur, U-R. It is today probably a part of Persia, Iraq, Afghanistan, in that general vicinity. And God goes on to say to him, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want to stress that again. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God here has specifically chosen a man, an instrument of divine intervention, a man who was going to be as a general in God's army, and he was to bless him so that he could be a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? For in all families of the earth shall there be a blessing. Well, let's look very quickly at what's happening in Israel today. Every time there is a major catastrophe throughout the earth, whether it be an earthquake, whether it be a flood, whether it be a tsunami, whether it be a hurricane, whether it be a mudslide, whatever the catastrophe is, who are the first responders? The IDF Emergency Relief Team. They are there on the scene first. They don't wait even to be called. They hear about the emergency and they pack up and they go. And they go fully equipped. And when they get to the site of the emergency, they're accompanied by surgeons, all sorts of medical staff, nurses, first aid responders, and they set up portable hospitals right on the scene. And they've done this time and time and time again in the Pacific, in Africa, in South America, in North America, wherever there is a catastrophe, they're the first ones there. And after they set up their hospitals and after they minister to those who have been injured, those who perhaps are suffering from disease of one sort or another, trauma victims, they are experts at treating trauma victims. And they go in at their own expense and not looking to be reimbursed for anything, but using Jewish funds to set up these emergency facilities. And after they have been at the scene of the catastrophe, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, when it comes time to return home, they leave those hospitals, all the equipment, all of the necessary medical accoutrements that are needed. They leave them right there on the scene for the locals to continue to use. Is this being a blessing? Oh, yes, this is being a tremendous blessing to people who are strangers, to people who may very well be anti-Semites, for people who certainly may worship a different God, for people who are godless. Israel responds according to the promise that God made to Abraham, that Abraham would be a blessing to the world. I can go on and on and on and tell you of different inventions different technological advances, medical research that has been done in Israel for the sake of benefiting the nations throughout the earth. Dear friends, you would not have a cell phone in your possession today that could do all of the marvelous things that it can do, including Siri and all of her friends as well, if it wasn't for Israeli technology. Israeli technology has won one Nobel Prize after another, after another, after another. This tiny little country, the size approximately of the state of New Jersey, with approximately 8 million inhabitants, has won more Nobel Prizes than any other country in the world. There are more new startup corporations coming into existence today in Israel than in any other country of the world. In other words, God is blessing Israel just the way he said he would when he spoke to his son Abraham, so that Israel could be a blessing to the world. And please remember this, dear saints. God says that he will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. Dear saints, if there's any modicum of anti-Semitism in your heart, anti-Semitism that may have come down from your father, your grandfather, or his father, deal with it today and get down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness, that he not only would take that anti-Semitism out of your heart, but that he would put a love for Israel and a love for the Jewish people in your heart, so that you can start out not only fresh and cleansed, but so that you can start out with a new enthusiasm for your relatives, your brothers and sisters who have gone before you. Yes, they're Jewish. They're Jewish. And isn't it awesome today that the president of these United States has gone way, way over and beyond anybody's expectations in making that concrete move to move our U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem, where not only where it belongs, but where the Congress has said it should be over 20 years ago. Presidents before our present president have made commitments that they fell back on, that they never ever kept. This man of God has chosen to go ahead and to bless Israel. I wonder if there's any correlation between that and what's going on in our country today. That we're in an economic boom right now, with unemployment as lower than we've ever seen it for years and years and years. More jobs available, more increases in salary, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to get into the political realm, but I get a little carried away sometimes when I see what's happening, because God's word is true, and God's word is being activated, and God's word is becoming real.
That's right.
It's not just something that's talk, 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 talk. We're seeing action, action, action.
He is faithful.
And with every action, there's what? A reaction. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So we can continue to expect to see this country become great again, simply because we're doing what God told us to do. Woo! I'm going to start to preach here, huh? Hang on now. I'm just scratched the surface. Hallelujah. 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 Mm. Now, let's get into the Word of God, specifically regarding this thing called Aliyah. which Wendy has just described to you, as the process of God's people returning from the four corners of the earth back to the land that God has given them and given their forefathers. Paul says in Romans 16, starting in verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the ministry which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Amen. What's Paul saying to us here today? He's saying there are prophetic scriptures. Scriptures that God gave to his people. Scriptures that have been right there in the book that, quite honestly, I believe have been overlooked for many, many, many years. When it comes to Aliyah, dear saints, do you know that there are over 65 scriptures, and we're going to be sharing some with you here this afternoon, 65 scriptures where God says he wants his people brought back home. Wow. Now, if there are two or three scriptures, four or five scriptures, where God repeats himself, I think it's worthwhile listening, don't you? But how about 65 separate times?
Wow.
That God says, I'm bringing my people back home.
He is not one who should lie.
That's why we need to take note of this. That's why we need to pay attention to this whole concept of Aliyah and the fulfillment of God's word and see what God has in store for us in terms of fulfilling this word. I'm going to go to Zechariah now, chapter 10, starting in verse 6. And God says, "And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as though through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord." Sounds like a party to me. "I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them." For God says, I have redeemed them. And then he goes on to say, and they shall live with their children and turn again. See, God has promised to bring his people back home to Israel.
That's right.
Thus far, he's brought them back home from over 102 countries throughout the world, 102 countries speaking 88 different tongues. He's brought them back to Israel to learn one language today, and that language is Hebrew. Stop and think about that. People with 88 different languages have put aside their native language to learn Hebrew so that this one language could be spoken throughout the land. That's an awesome, awesome challenge. But what's happening? These people are coming back to their homeland. And because they're coming back to their homeland, there is great joy. There is great rejoicing. There is great gladness. Wendy and I had the opportunity to be in Israel about 15, 16 months ago. We were so blessed. We were attending a conference on international Aliyah, and it was an opportunity for us shortly after we were married to spend time literally in the streets. We visited the Shuk in
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. It's almost like an outdoor marketplace, and just as soon as you walked into the place, you could just feel a presence there. There was an excitement there. We didn't understand much of the language, but we were able to communicate with the merchants, et cetera, et cetera. We were able to visit certain places and to be in the land that God has chosen for His land. Was such a tremendous, tremendous blessing to us. For us to be exposed to the Israeli people, the people who are so friendly, so warm, so caring, so appreciative of the fact that we as Americans had chosen to visit their country. Chosen to be a part of what God is doing there today. Very, very, very exciting. Very, very exciting time. We were so privileged. We were so blessed. We can't wait for the next time that God will open a door for us to go back. And when that happens, we know what's in store for us. It's just so very, very exciting.
I'm heading to the desert.
I'm heading for the Holiday Inn, let me tell you this right now. I like the beds in the Holiday Inn better than...
Oh, Beersheba, Beersheba,
okay.
Beersheba.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. And this is awesome. This is just really awesome. And it shall come to pass, Isaiah 11:11, in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
Hallelujah.
He will set up a banner for the nations. Now, when God speaks here of the nations, he's speaking to us as Gentiles. And he's saying he's going to set up a banner while he assembles the outcasts of Israel and gathers the dispersed of Israel, of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. This speaks to me and says that we're going to have something to do with this. Because when he sets up a banner for the nations, he's talking to the Gentiles. And isn't it interesting here that God says he shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people? Isn't that what he did the first time during the Exodus? He took his people out of the bondages of Pharaoh, out of the bondages of paganism, out of the bondages of suffering and mm-hmm. deprivation.
Mm-hmm. Delivered.
And he brought them out and delivered them.
Yes, he did.
Where? Into the promised land.
Canaan.
Today we call it Eretz Israel. God's promised land. We're going to get back to that in just a little while. But that excites me because it tells me that we, as Gentiles, that is non-Jews, are going to have a part in this. Wendy and I are tremendously blessed because God has brought together a Jew and a Gentile. Wendy is Jewish. If you like, you could call her Messianic. I call her beautiful. Wendy and I are blessed to be Jew and Gentile, one man in Yeshua.
Yes.
We'll talk to you about that later as well. Now I'd like to show you the scripture in Jeremiah 16 and verse 14. And again, God says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." That's the Exodus I just was talking with you about. But, verse 15, "the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands where he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." So you see, God says again, he is going to bring his children back, not just out of Egypt, but from the land of the south, the land of the north, all of the lands that he had driven them out of. And he's going to bring them back into the land that he originally gave unto their fathers, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob.
Hallelujah.
This is God's promise, people. It's God's promise. He is going to fulfill his promise. He is not a God that he can lie.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Continuing in Isaiah 14, the Lord goes on to say, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for the servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." So the Lord speaks again here about taking strangers and joining them with his people when he brings them back into the land. Well, mm-hmm. who are those strangers? Those strangers are the Gentiles. The strangers may very well be you and we. You see, when God does something, he does it for a purpose. We have had the opportunity once again and the privilege of meeting a lot of people in Israel, Christian believers, non-Jewish people. And we ask them, "What are you doing here in this land? Why has God called you here, if he has?" And they say, "Yes, we're here because God has called us to help our brothers and sisters who are here in the land, but he has also brought us here that we could be a blessing to those who are coming into the land, the new Olim, the new immigrants that are coming in fulfillment of these very scriptures." God says in Isaiah 49 and verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." Who's going to do the carrying, dear saints? It's the Gentiles. The Gentiles, Christians who love Israel, who love the Jews, who want to be a part of this great, great end time work of Aliyah. I'll tell you right now, Aliyah is close to God's heart. Aliyah is on God's heart. God is desirous of bringing his people back home. And he's looking for people that have a like heart and a like desire, who want to serve him by serving his people. Better get ready. Better get yourself in shape, because you're going to be carrying sons in your arms and daughters upon your shoulders. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. Wendy and I are dedicated to this work of Aliyah. Our ministry, Aliyah Ministries International, is an international ministry where we are joining hands with brothers and sisters around the globe who are desirous of helping our Jewish friends, our Jewish brothers and sisters, to fulfill these very scriptures and to make a trip back home where they will serve the God of all creation, where they will meet Mashiach, where they will come to know Yeshua as Lord, as Savior, as soon coming King. That's the reality, dear saints. It's coming about. There are those making Aliyah today by the hundreds, by the thousands. We believe we're going to see hundreds of thousands of Jews returning home, fulfilling these scriptures, these very words that were spoken thousands of years ago.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.